A very closed country opened slightly and briefly last month when the New York Philharmonic played at the invitation of North Korea's leaders. Conductor Lauren Mazel hopes the concert helped pave the way to diplomacy. Mazel has been the music director of the New York Philharmonic since 2002. From 1972 to 82, he conducted the Cleveland Orchestra. He was a child prodigy and began studying conducting at the age of 7. One of the pieces he conducted in North Korea was George Gershwin's An American in Paris. Here's an excerpt. Lauren Mazel conducting the New York Philharmonic in North Korea. After finishing their Asian tour, Mazel returned briefly to the U.S. Last Thursday, we caught up with him in Milan, where he was preparing for another concert. Quite a schedule for a 78-year-old conductor. I spoke with Mazel about his experiences in North Korea. Maestro Mazel, welcome to Fresh Air. You opened the concert with both the American and the North Korean national anthems. What do you think of the American national anthem as a piece of music? Do you take any pleasure musically out of playing it?
You know, I as an American, I've got a visual response to the tune. You know, I've been singing it in school, you know, ever since I can remember. And so
it's very hard to sing.
It's hard to sing, and the words are difficult. But of course, one masters them. And it's, as I say, it's a visual thing. You hear it, you get goosebumps, and that's, you know, your national anthem. But what stupefied me is that I knew perfectly well that this had been the first time ever in North Korean history since the end of the Korean War that the American anthem had been heard in Korea. And after we played the two anthems, okay, first the North Korean anthem and then the Star-Spangled Banner, people actually applauded. North Koreans applauded, and including government officials, and then sat down applauding the American anthem. And that, of course, gave it away. Apparently this event had long been talked about, was long awaited. And the time had come, obviously, to forget the hate and try to move on. Rightfully so, because what is the alternative?
When you were in North Korea, did you have a minder who helped you get around and negotiate your way and who also prevented you from seeing certain things?
Well, they're called guides, not minders. And, of course, we had a guide who stayed in the little guest house my son and I were lodged in. And I have to laugh because I have been minded in so many communist countries in the past. I was in the Soviet Union twice, and first time I conducted 5 different orchestras, and I had an interpreter minder with me day and night, from whom I would escape once in a while, and much to the consternation of this person. But I learned early on that these people are engaged to do that. And if they lose you, they may not only lose their job, but they may also lose their lives. I mean, I remember one translator in Russia bursting into tears. She was a young woman. She said, "You just can't run away from me this way. You have no idea what they would do to me." And so you can't put your minder's life at risk, can you? That's the world they live in, and if you go there, you have to accept the norms. We did have a camera with us, and we asked whether we could take pictures any place, and they said no problem, and which we did. You know, we got out of the car and we took pictures. Not much to take pictures of because there are no apartment houses, there are no stores, there are no cars, there are no skyscrapers. There's no traffic. There's nothing. So what are you taking pictures of? But that in itself is a documentation, though there's nothing there that we were seeing that we didn't know we would see, especially those of us who are old enough to remember the bad old times in other communist countries.
There are so many instruments that if you play them for a long period of time, unless your posture is just absolutely perfect, it's going to create like tendonitis or, you know, other kinds of like physical problems that will give you aches and pains and maybe even result in not being able to play the instrument after a certain age. Anything similar that you face as a conductor? I mean, you've been doing it a long time. You started when you were 7. So, like, what are some of the hazards of conducting?
Hazards. Well, the conductors get conductor's elbow. So many of my colleagues have been operated on. You know, there are cramps, which result from bad positioning. I've always been aware of that, I suppose, because I'm a good violinist trained in the Russian school, where there are all kinds of anti-tension exercises that you have to engage in if you going to play that instrument for hours on end without encountering difficulties, so that I'm able, even at my fairly advanced age, to conduct 6-7 hours without any cramps, without any tension, because I've given a great deal of thought. And if I'm known for my so-called conducting technique, it's because I've given the attention that is required so that it is smooth and functional, and that there's no tension involved other than the intensity of one's musical imperative, which finds its expression in that one sweep or click of the baton where you put all your energy for that split second into an emotion which will be efficacious and will have the desired effect. So, yes, my advice to young people is to be sure that the schooling is right. Whatever you're playing, especially the wind instruments, you know, that your embouchure is set just right, and that if you're a string player, that your hands are positioned in a way that will not do damage to your spinal column.
Can you share one good anti-tension exercise with us?
Well, the first thing to do is learn how to breathe. Very deep breath, slow. And then you stand in one position if you're going to conduct or sing or whatever for about a minute, and you deliberately relax every muscle in your body. You become aware of the fact that quite a few muscles are tense, and so you relax them. All the way down, you know, through the calves of your legs. And then you take one more very slow breath. And then you say to yourself, what I do here is of no importance whatsoever. I am here as a servant. And if I'm nervous, it means that I think what I'm doing is important. And that is an egocentricity which no interpreter can allow himself the luxury of. You're there to serve the music, and you have to be in the best position, psychological and physiological, to do so, which means no tension, no nerves. Yes, exhilaration. Yes, enthusiasm. Yes, focused energy, but no nervousness, because that's counterproductive.
And do you go through these exercises backstage before walking onto the stage, or are you thinking this for the first few seconds before you lift your arms to begin conducting?
Well, I go through none of this anymore. It's so part of I just take that breath as a matter of course. And my body...
Your muscles are already relaxed?
They're already relaxed because I've been giving it
good
so...
for you.
so much thought for so long. It's so important.
Uh-huh. And even in North Korea, you didn't have to tell your body to relax. You were in the zone.
No, I was very, very focused, concentrated, but not nervous.
Mm-hmm. All right. Maestro, thank you so much for talking with us. Congratulations on your tour.
Thank you. Good luck
with your performance tonight.
Thank you.
Lauren Mazel is the conductor of the New York Philharmonic. Last month, he conducted the orchestra in North Korea. The New York Philharmonic North Korea concert premiered in February on PBS's Great Performances. To stream the full concert online, you can visit www.pbs.org/GPERF. We'll close with an excerpt of the concert, a Korean folk song.